Are you ready to get behind the wheel of a UPS tractor trailer? Seasonal tractor trailer drivers earn $32 an hour. Drivers must be at least 21 years of age, have a Class A CDL with T endorsement, 2 years of tractor trailer experience, and be able to drive a standard transmission. As a driver, you could participate in team driving, in-town runs, or help at a local UPS facility. Are you ready to get on the road? Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.
And between the chest cavity or in the chest cavity. And, we like to do drills that I think promote that toughness, you know, whether it's physical toughness or mental toughness, and reward those players that understand that and carry it out.
Mike Pavinsky, who's the AD there, may just say, look, there's no amount of money we can hope to raise that would keep you from Louisville. You know, if he wants it, he wants it. I don't know if there's a number that would keep him.
You're in the zone. In the zone. The Zone with Jason Anderson. Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville.
I think he might go shirtless. Or he might go, you know, Winnie the Pooh. I'm not sure which way he would go about it. I don't know. One of the two.
Want to be part of the show? Give us a call at 267-9680.
Now.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
They're not using their hands. There's no technique there.
Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville. On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Pirates don't care about crooked mustaches. You know that. They care about getting booty.
And the saga continues. The conversation continues. Everything's still going on until officially there is a new coach named. And that won't be for a while, obviously. November 24th, the last day of the season for all of these different teams. And after that, we'll see what ultimately happens. A number of things that we want to talk about and get into today. We will certainly do that. If you want to weigh in, you know how to do that. It's 437-9680. That's the UPS Jobs text line. You can call the show at 267-9680 and be a part of it that way. You can also tweet the show at J680Anderson, at Magic_ESPN680, or at ESPN680, the official Fan Outfitters Twitter account. Twitter handle is that, so you can certainly do that, or you can come down and just yell, and maybe your question will get on the air. As we're down here at the Troll Pub, it's a Troll Pub Tuesday with ESPN Louisville. As we're here every single Tuesday, partnered with the Troll Pub another year, over 25 HD TVs with the in-house, all of that here in college football, college basketball, NFL, NBA games. It is on the TV here, 25 of them, over 25 of them, 25 and a quarter is the exact number. Great before Cardinal basketball games, which is what's coming up tonight. Concerts, and right next to the KFC Yum Center, all of that stuff. Great food, great drinks, great atmosphere. The Troll Under the Bridge, a unique underground dining experience. We'll be here till 6. The pregame show will start at 6 o'clock with Stephen Rummage and Marcus Maben. And then postgame right after the Louisville game tonight as opportunity number 2 to see if there is improvement and where Louisville is in game 2 from game 1. We will find that out. We did that with UK on Friday to see how much improvement was there from game 1 to game 2. Unfortunately, for a good portion of that game, there didn't seem to be a whole lot. And then tomorrow, another opportunity for us to see, you know, if there is those incremental increases and improvements from the Cats, from the Cards, all of that stuff, Hoosiers, all those, different, aspects of what we'll be watching over the next few weeks, months, all of that stuff. Mike DeCourcy will be our guest at 5 o'clock. So we will talk college basketball with our college basketball insider. It's a Tuesday, so that means we talk with the man from the Sporting News and the Big Ten Network. He will join us and break down everything he's seen so far, break down his views of what the college basketball season so far has been. So we will do that with Mike DeCourcy coming up at 5 o'clock. We also have...
That'll be a good time.
We will call it the coaching carousel today at 4 o'clock. We're going to bounce around kind of like a full-court press, but we're going to go to different cities, and we will go to cities that have coaches that are at least been mentioned, talked about as a replacement for Bobby Petrino, not named Jeff Brohm. So we will be going to cities like Syracuse. We will be going to cities, like Pullman. Or really just Washington State in general, to talk about the Cougars. But really, Mike Leach will be heading to Cincinnati because Luke Fickell's name has at least been mentioned. I don't know how much that is a possibility or a likelihood. Obviously, it seems to be Jeff Brohm and then everybody else. But these are names that people have brought up. We will be heading to Columbus. Ryan Day has been talked about as a possible replacement for one Bobby Petrino. And Bovada has released their odds. The odds for replacing Bobby Petrino. Magic, have you seen these odds by one Bovada betting website?
I have not seen the Bovada odds yet.
All right, I'll give you a guess as to who the number one candidate is, according to Vegas, to take over at Louisville for the 2019 football season to break out against Notre Dame.
Man, so many possible options. Could it be just maybe Jeff Brohm as number
one? You would
one?
Be right. You would be right in assuming that is one hell of a guess out of left field. Jeff
I really
Brohm,
stretched for that one, man.
Absolutely.
I didn't feel confident.
Yes, he is better than even money. He is 10-11 that Jeff Brohm will be the next head coach, by far and away the favorite, according to Vegas, to be the next head coach as the Louisville Cardinals. Venture a guess as to who number two is. This is where I think it gets kind of interesting. There's a hint for you. Number two, according to Bovada, as the odds-on favorite to take over as the head coach after Bobby. If it is not Jeff Brohm, Vegas says it will be this man.
Ryan Day, Ohio State?
That is very close, but it is wrong.
Ah.
Very close. So I appreciate you getting the hint that it kind of gets weird.
I did not get
No, I mean, but you got it because you said Ryan Day, so that's sort of like the line. It wasn't like, the next in line that we've been talking about. So, but it is a name that has been mentioned, but not to the degree that Vegas feels like is a possibility after Jeff Brohm. So any other guesses that could be out there after Brohm, who the second betting favorite would be, according to Vegas?
I'm going to completely misread the hint. I know that. Is it Mike Leach?
It is not. It is not Mike Leach. It is not Mike Leach. We'll go ahead and throw that one out there. It is Neil Brown at Troy from Kentucky.
Yeah, I misread the signals there.
No, you're fine. It's not the coaches or names that we have been sort of talking about. Here are the here is the list and sort of the numbering of chronological or whatever you want to call it, numerical order. Jeff Brohm and then this coach, just going down the line. Neil Brown, number two. According to Bovada. Now, number three is who you had mentioned earlier.
Would that be Ryan Day?
That is right.
Ohio State?
Ryan Day is the third choice betting favorite at 9-2. So 4-1 Neil Brown, 4.5-1 for Ryan Day. So roughly Vegas says it's Brohm, and if it isn't Brohm, it's either Brown or Ryan Day. Ohio State's offensive coordinator, Neil Brown at Troy, they're roughly the same odds. Any particular guess after one Rhino D.A.?
Can go off the board with one I haven't said yet. What about Luke Fickell at Cincinnati?
Very close. You are one away from each of these guesses, but that is not right. But it is close. You've got the first one right and the third one right. But you missed on the second, and you missed on the fourth. But any other venture a guess for this guy? Number four, fourth betting favorite, 6-1 odds. And by the way, after this guy, the odds drop
precipitously.
Yeah.
Huh.
This man's name rhymes with Kent, and last name rhymes with Selenables.
They actually put Brent Venables as fourth on the list.
Brent Venables is fourth at 6-1. So Jeff Brohm 10-1. There is a next tier, according to Vegas. It is Neil Brown, Ryan Day, and then Brent Venables in the next tier. And then there's a break between 4 and 5. The fifth betting choice there, Magic, you said earlier, and you will guess this time.
That'd be Mike Leach.
That is not right. Take another gander.
My Luke Fickell there.
That is right, Luke
there
Fickell,
go,
the
one.
Fifth betting choice at 11-1. So you go from 6-1 down to 11-1 for Luke Fickell. And then after that, enough with the guessing. After that, Dino Babers, 12-1. Matt Campbell, 12-1. They've got Babers and Campbell sitting at the same odds to be the Louisville head coach when Pat Forty brought to us on Sunday that he was hearing there's mutual interest, that Babers, you know, reaching out to Louisville, or mutual interest in some degree for Babers to, you know, at least be considered for that Louisville job. Now, whether that is, you know, him saying, I want my agent to know this, and or I want my agent to put this out there so that Syracuse knows that's the case, so Syracuse can come and give me an extension, I don't know. But Dino Babers and Matt Campbell both 12-1, and I don't think Matt Campbell is a choice because he's got a $7 million buyout. So Vegas, essentially, if I'm looking at it and saying a $7 million buyout is sort of an eliminator with all of these other names, then Vegas is saying it's just as likely Dino Babers is the man as well. And then after that, Jason Candle, which everybody knows is the coach where, Magic?
Yeah. Jason Candle?
Uh-huh, Jason Candle.
University of Alabama, Birmingham. I have no idea.
It is, you're in the wrong section of the United States. He is at Toledo. He is at Toledo.
And I'm not good with the guessing today, man.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I don't know that that would inspire much confidence in the Louisville fans. He went 11-3 a year ago, finished first in the West in the MAC. He is 5-5 this year. 5-5. And then the last sort of betting coach is Scott Satterfield. Scott Satterfield, that everybody knows is the head coach at Appalachian State. So there are the Bovada lists. And I would say, you know, we thought Vegas was crazy with Charlie Strong as the favorite. Remember that? That it was like Charlie Strong is the favorite? Come on. Why would he go to Texas? That's just not the – it's not a good fit. As much as we talk about fit for coaches, hey, Jeff Brohm's a great fit. This guy's going to be a great fit. This is an all – Lincoln Riley, a great fit at Oklahoma. Who's the great fit at these different spots, you know what I mean? And so it's like, hey, Jeff Brohm's a good fit. Well, fit is an aspect of it. Fit's a big part of it. But Charlie Strong didn't feel like that. And yet he still went to Texas and took that job. Now they say Brohm is 10-11. I think that's probably right on. As we've said, and as I'd continue to say, I don't think it's 100%. I don't think it is. Vegas is not going to post the odds because Jeff Brohm is the guy. It's like the Vegas book that took Lamar Jackson's Heisman off the board because it was like, yeah, what's the point? You know, even if we put it 5,000-1, we're still giving away, you know, $100 for, you know, every $5,000. Like, that doesn't make any sense. We don't want to give away any money. We're just taking it off the board. Like, if Vegas did that, it's like, we're not even going to post anything because it's Jeff Brohm. Like, I think that's the case. Like, I think it is 10-11. I think it's even money, essentially, that Jeff Brohm takes the job. I think all things being considered, if the money is sort of the same thing, if all of those things are there, I think Jeff Brohm, you know, looks at it, comes home, and does all that stuff, and says, you know, Vince Tyree, the Trinity connection, all those different connections that are there. Look, I think he takes the job, and I think he's the next coach at Louisville. You know, Purdue people think that, you know, he stays at Purdue. He said it wasn't his dream job, which you would expect him to say. Like, everything he's saying is what a coach is going to say. Like, he's not going to be at Purdue and say, no, Louisville's my dream job. You know, or it's not my dream job because there's another job that's my dream job. It doesn't matter if they said, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, is that your dream job? The New York Giants, the San Francisco 49ers, where you played. You know what I mean? Like, what's your dream job? Is that your dream? Like, he wouldn't say yes to any.
It's like
name.
When you apply to a job and they say, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I see myself working right here, Burger King.
I see myself in your position there, hiring person. I see myself hiring the next me and taking your job. Ha-ha, that's my ambition. Like, he's not going to say that his dream job is Louisville, even if it is or it is not. It doesn't matter. But so I think all things being considered, he would take the job. And so by him taking the job, you know, I think it's ultimately going to be him. But I don't think it's 100%. But after that, the surprise to me is that Neil Brown is the second betting favorite. And that's because I would guess it would be somebody like Dino Babers. Maybe the biggest surprise is that Leach isn't listed. You know, Leach isn't in, you know, higher than 16-1 on this list here. I am shocked at that it wouldn't be somebody that would be a candidate or a consideration for the job. And maybe it's because I'm a fan of Mike Leach's, and so I'm skewed or, you know, biased to some degree that I think he should be listed here. I would say that if I'm trying to hire a head coach and I'm Vince Tyree and I'm putting a list together and I'm saying, if not Jeff Brohm, then who? Leach has to be pretty high on my list. Look what he did
what he's done at Washington State. If he's won at Texas Tech, he's incredibly entertaining. All of those, even if he's not entertaining, look at his record and what he's done. I'm surprised it's not listed here. Ryan Day at Ohio State seems to be one of those Brent Venables type guys that's going to wait for a big job. And Brent Venables is that people feel is going to wait for a big job. It feels like, to me, Vegas is saying it's Brom, and then you got a next group of guys, and then that's really it. That's kind of it. Because I don't think they're going to go off the board and say Luke Fickell 11-1 or Dino Babers 12-1 or Campbell 12-1. I mean, as it gets closer, if we get closer, you know, November 24th, and those, you know, names, I guess, ultimately change or the odds increase or go down in any way, shape, or form, then, yeah, you can adjust your opinion. But my guess is that the Brom numbers are only going to increase as more and more likely. You know, 10-11, it's less than, you know, even odds. I think that's going to be the case moving forward. But Neil Brown is a surprise. I know he's from Kentucky. I know there's a local tie to it. And I know he's been really good at Troy. The question is if you can sell that if you're Vince Tyree to the Louisville fans of a guy who was at Kentucky, of a guy who was the OC at Kentucky, of a guy that when he was named OC at Kentucky said UK is the show in the state and we are the guy, we are the team, we're the state school, we are the show. If that's going to be easily sort of put aside, or if it is just explained away as, look, man, I was a coach at Kentucky. Of course I'm going to say that. Like, that's the view. That's what I'm going to say. And I'm going to say the same thing at Louisville. I'm going to tell everybody how great Louisville is. I couldn't say that Louisville was better than Kentucky, even though I felt that way. Like, I don't think that's going to be a tougher sell, even though he's been successful at Troy. And I don't know that Ryan Day is a great sell. I don't know that, you know, I think Brent Venables would be, just because you bring that Clemson culture with you and the guy can recruit his you-know-what off and the guy can clearly coach defense. I just don't know what the end result is going to be as to where he ends up. I will say this. There's something Drew said earlier today, and I think, I completely agree with it. I've changed my view on that when I'm looking at, oh, December 5th for Jeff Brom. I will change my view on that. But first off, like, if it's not Jeff Brom, and again, I think it is, but if it's not Jeff Brom, if I'm hiring the coach, I don't want to hire somebody to win the press conference. I want to hire somebody to win games as the head coach. And so if Vince Tyree goes out there and says, look, man, Luke Fickell is the guy, and he doesn't seem to be, you know, theatrical or flamboyant or anything like that, or he seems to be more of a no-nonsense, just right-to-the-point type, speaker when he's talking, like, I don't know that you would win the press conference with that. But if Tyree says, if not Brom, this is the very best guy for the job, and I'm going to go get him because he may be an Ohio guy and he may be in only year two of Cincinnati, but this is the ACC, and he's in the AAC, and it's a different beast here, and I'm going to go get him, and we can pay more than that, and he's not a dumb guy. He knows the differences between the Cincinnati program and the Louisville program. He won't win the press conference with that name, but it doesn't matter if he wins the press conference. He wins everything with Jeff Brom. He wins the press conference. He wins the fans. He wins donors. He wins season tickets. He wins probably even more on the field. He wins more trust from the fans and Vince Tyree. He wins a lot with Jeff Brom. That's why, you know, this is even more of a you have to get the job done than Chris Mack. Chris Mack was a, if that's your guy, you got to go out and get him. And he did. But selling the Louisville program in basketball to the Xavier program in basketball is much easier, even with the NCAA stuff going on. Plus, I don't know if you guys knew this, but Chris Mack's wife was from Louisville. So there was that tie-in. You know, a lot of people didn't realize that. There's also reports, and I don't know if this is true, Jeff Brom's wife is from Louisville as well. So, you know, you just got to go and find the coaches whose significant others are from Louisville. Shut up with the jokes, Magic. All right? I know what you were going with there. Both his wives are from Louisville. Shut up. This would be... I think the more, let me restate, we're going to wait till the season is over. But because there's 2 weeks, letting Bobby Petrino go when he did, I think it creates more pressure on Vince Tyree to go and get Jeff Brom and get the deal done, because there's 2 weeks of a buildup of fans saying Brom, 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 Brom. Brom's the guy. Brom's this. Brom's the fit. Brom is the next one. Brom's the only candidate. It's Brom and then everybody else. I don't care who the number two candidate is. It's Brom from 1 to 1,000, and then whoever 1,001 is, it doesn't matter. it would feel like a failure if it's not Jeff Brohm as the head coach. And it may not be the case. In 3 years, it might be Luke Fickell challenging Clemson. It might be, you know, Brent Venables challenging Clemson. It might be Ryan Day as the next Tom Herman to leave Ohio State as the offensive coordinator and go and be a guy that is coveted by everybody. It like, that might be, you know, the answer. And you look back and go, wow, that was a great hire by Vince Tyree. And you know what? He didn't get Jeff Brohm. And maybe Jeff Brohm, you know, was looking at it and saying, well, I got these other sort of irons in the fire maybe in a year or so, and I don't want to leave Louisville after 1 year. And there's some opportunities maybe with the NFL, and that could be my ultimate goal. Because there's 2 weeks of buildup to the end of the season. And again, I agree with Vince Tyree. It had to happen when it happened. Okay, it was clear, it was obvious, and we'll play Lorenzo Ward's clip of him essentially telling everybody that it needed to happen without saying, yeah, this had to happen. But there's a two-week buildup now for the end of the season, and then it will be what? Another week buildup? 2-3 days? I don't know how long it'll take to go and hire the next head coach, but there's going to be a buildup from that point moving forward until the reports break, and we're on the air, no matter what day it is, just like Sunday, the reports break, and the next coach is whoever it is, there's going to be a buildup and an anticipation. And if it is not Brohm, it is going to feel like a failure. Remember when Texas said, it's going to be Nick Saban. It's going to be Nick Saban. When Mack Brown was done, it's going to be Nick Saban. Nick Saban's wife is looking for a house in Austin. They're shopping for real estate in Austin. And Nick Saban wants the Texas job. And he wants the next challenge. And he wants to win a national championship at LSU, at Alabama, and at Texas. He wants to be that coach. And he's going to take the Texas job. And it's Texas, even though Alabama's nice, but it's still Texas. And then Saban said no. And it felt like no matter who Alabama hired, or excuse me, Texas hired, it was going to be a failure. And then it was Charlie Strong, which made it even more of less of a sell because we know how well he deals with the media. We know how well he is in front of the media and giving a press conference. So it was even more of a failure from that standpoint. And it turned out to be that with Charlie Strong. I'm not saying that's what the next coach is going to be, but that's the feeling I have as this builds up for 2 weeks, that there's so much pressure that's going to be on Jeff Brohm's shoulders to get, Vince Tyree's shoulders to get Jeff Brohm. There was at one point pressure to, boy, he has to make the decision that Bobby's gone. Then it became easy. And so there wasn't really pressure. He was going to make the decision, and he did. Now, because there's so much about the guy at Purdue, it becomes almost it is an all or nothing. It's a pass-fail as the next coach at Louisville. Is Brohm available? Is he interested? And now you got Vegas installing him as the 10-11 favorite to take the Louisville job. And so I would agree with those odds. It doesn't mean it's a slam dunk. It doesn't mean it's 100%. And the next names that came in surprised me that it's Neil Brown and Ryan Day. Not surprising that Brent Venables is number four. But I am surprised if there is, you know, what Pat Forty said, if there is mutual interest from Dino Babers and Louisville, that Vegas wouldn't have heard about that. Like, Vegas knows, essentially. We talk about that all the time. If Dino Babers reached out, or even if his agent reached out, I would guess he'd be 12-1, or he'd be higher than 12-1. He would be in the list of Brown, Day, Venables that are sort of lumped together. He wouldn't be in the list of Fickell, Babers, Campbell that are lumped together. And again, as I've said, Campbell's not happening. He's got a $7 million buyout. They're not going to go and hire Matt Campbell and pay $7 million if you feel like you can get somebody that can do as good of a job, or, you know, a better job, or whatever it is. That, you know, $7 million is a lot to pay for a buyout when we're talking about if you're going to wait to only pay three as opposed to four. And on that point, Drew brings up an interesting point, and I agree with him, and that we've talked about the finances for Louisville for so long, for the last year or so, in the foundation and the endowment and what happened with Ramsey and sort of the petty cash that was viewed from the foundation and the endowment by the athletic department, that there are, you know, the issues. Who knows what's going to happen with Rick Pitino? You paid $7 million to Tom Jurich, and there's sort of a restructuring of the finances and being, you know, sort of no pun intended, fickle with the money there and pinching some pennies. And Vince Tyree writing coach to Syracuse. Okay? Come on. That's absurd. Can't write coach. You're the Louisville AD. All right? Get a first-class ticket. Get a private plane. Nope. Got to pay that buyout. But Drew brought up a good point. If you hire somebody on November 25th as opposed to December 5th, what's there, 30 days in November? So that's 5, that's 10 days. Is 10 days of recruiting and the momentum of the program building worth $1.1 million? Because it is, what, 4.4 or 4.3 that drops to 3.2 from December 4th to December 5th. Before December 4th, it's 4.3. After December 4th, it's 3.2. So is it worth $1.1 million to hire him on November 25th as opposed to December 5th, and you have 10 more days? Instead of looking at, you have 2 weeks exactly from signing day. You hire him on December 5th, you've got 2 weeks exactly from that day. You would have 24 days. So the extra 10 days, does that get you some recruits that are locally, that are looking somewhere else? Do you get recruits, you know, that you weren't in on? Do you get some recruits that decommitted already from Louisville? Do you have an opportunity, you know, to keep some of the guys that are interested in transferring? Because if you put your name in the transfer portal, it's essentially letting other teams know that you may reach out to that, hey, don't recruit that guy. Don't go and get that position. I'm available, and I'd love to come to your school. Okay, good. Now we don't have to recruit that position because we're going to get this guy as a transfer at semester. It can, you know, adjust that. It can quickly sort of, you know, meet with the team and those guys that might be looking at it and looking at the date of November 25th that I can't wait to put in the transfer papers because I'm gone, and then I'll finish out the semester so I can be eligible, and then I'm going to go somewhere else if that guy gets in there and has those extra 10 days to be able to do those things. Is it worth $1.1 million? And Drew brought up the point, and I think it's a good point, and I would say it's worth it because – you're kind of pot committed at this point. You're paying 14. You're going to pay 3.2 or 4.3 to get Jeff Brohm. You got to pay $600,000 to WKU. That's going to be rolled over from what Purdue was paying WKU. Although you don't have to pay that in a lump sum. WKU is $150,000 a year until it's paid off. So that's what? Four more years that you got to pay $150,000 to WKU, you're fine. Okay, so that's not as big of a deal. But if you're looking at those finances, $14 million, another four, if you're pot committed, does the 1.1 extra matter? I mean, it's all going to matter, you know, in coming up with a bottom line and a budget. That's all going to matter. And when you've got to present it to Neely Bindapudi and say, look, we're going to pay 4.3. And she's like, oh, what about this December 5th date I've been hearing in the zone with Jason Anderson, 3-6, that I'm a huge fan of. I've heard him talk about that buyout goes down like $1 million. What's the deal, Vince? Why are you just throwing our money away? If you're talking about, you know, the $17 or $18 million, like, is $17.2 million that much different from 18.3? And if you're saying 18.3 to get Jeff Brohm in on November 25th or 17.2 and wait 10 days to get Jeff Brohm in and go recruit, I agree with Drew. I think it's worth the money, and I think you get it done, and you get him in there, and you start recruiting some of these guys that are not, you know, looking at Louisville locally, and I think there's going to be a real moral dilemma for Jeff Brohm if it happens like this. There's going to be a real moral dilemma for Jeff Brohm, who obviously is appreciative of what Purdue did. Purdue giving him a chance. Purdue, you know, helping out with money. Purdue paying him $4 million. Purdue working to increase the facilities. You know, Purdue looking at other opportunities to, you know, increase some of the, you know, the interest of that football program, doing what they can so he can start recruiting at a higher level, and he's already recruiting at a pretty high level. Like, that's, there's certainly a level of appreciation for that. So the moral dilemma that I think Jeff Brohm will have is the local careers that are already committed to Purdue. If he leaves Purdue and takes over at Louisville, does he then recruit those players? Does he then go, sorry, Purdue, I'm leaving, and oh, by the way, these guys I got to Purdue, I'm taking them with me as well? And I know people have asked about, well, what about Rondell Moore? Well, does Rondell Moore want to sit out a year? I mean, I don't know. The guy's looking at in 2 years he's going to go and play, you know, in the NFL. He can play two more years at Purdue and then go pro, you know, a year early. Or he can transfer, sit out 1 year, play just one more year of college football, and then go pro. Either way, he'd be probably looking at the same time frame before he'd probably want to enter the NFL draft.
But benefit of having one less year of wear and tear on your body.
That's not a bad point. It's not a bad point. I talked about it with Charles Harris that got drafted by Miami, and he mentioned in his draft day press conference that, you know, he started looking at his redshirt year when his redshirt freshman year, I think it was, when he started playing really well. And he was like, you know what? If I bust my rear end in this offseason, I might be able to go pro after my redshirt sophomore year and not wait another year, and that's one less year of wear and tear playing in the SEC on my body that I might be able to get out of in the NFL. That was part of his thought process into why. Now, should that be a thought part of your thought process to work your tail off to, you know, try to maximize everything you can? Maybe, but maybe that gets you one extra rep. Maybe it gets you two extra reps of saying, this might be worth another $5 million in, you know, the life of my contract in dollar signs because of the wear and tear. I don't think it's a bad point. I just don't know that it's going to be, well, then Rondale Moore is going to transfer to Louisville. Because, again, I think you get into the moral dilemma of that coach whenever they move and they take over a new job if they're going to be bringing recruits from there. Remember Charlie Strong said, no, I'm recruiting for Louisville now. I was recruiting for Florida. I'm not going and getting those guys. But then he took over at Texas, and he got some of those Louisville recruits to go to Texas, one of those being Puma Ford, who was a pretty darn good player and would have been a difference maker at Louisville. Okay, so Puma Ford was committed to Louisville. Charlie takes the Texas job. Puma Ford goes to Texas. And that was that point of, whoa, hey, he didn't do that when he took the Louisville job. He didn't recruit those Florida players to go to Louisville, but now he's doing it with Texas. Okay, well, does that mean Jeff Brohm's going to do that? I don't know. But if there's a chance of some of the uncommitted players that are thinking about, you know, Purdue right now or thinking about different spots, November 25th is vital rather than December 5th. I think it's a good point by Drew. You're pot committed at this point. I think you do whatever you do to get it done as quickly as you can, and even if it means an extra $1 million that you throw out there. And again, I know that I'm talking about $1 million is like, you know, don't just – throw it around. It's not like it's not your money. Go ahead and spend it. I get it. 437-9680 is the UPS jobs text line to be a part of the show, part of the conversation. So we'll see if it gets done from that standpoint. I mean, look, it's 10 to 11 odds. I think Vegas is installing the person that he thinks or they think is going to be the next head coach. But I thought it was a good point by Drew, that if you're at that point, it might be worth it, just simply get it done. I'll also bring up this as an aside. I was thinking about this morning when Drew was talking. With signing day being December 19th, and some of these coaching buyout contracts, and I'm talking about buyout if you were to leave, like Matt Campbell's $7 million, Leach's 2.25, you know, Brohm's 4/3. With the early signing period on December 19th, do programs start to get a little more strategic in their dropping of the money after a certain date? Like, it's a, we're going to drop a $2 million after December 15th. Not December 5th, because December 5th, you still have, you know, 14 days to go and recruit or do whatever you can do. December 15th, it's going to drop $2 million. Well, do you want to pay the extra $2 million to get this guy early? Or you want to save $2 million, hire him on December 15th, now you got 4 days till signing day. Like, I wonder if it'll be more strategic in sort of extending that it drops on December 5th or 6th or 7th to get closer to signing day to make it a little bit more viable or less of a proposition for the new team to come in and say, we'll pay that or we won't pay that. It's a little too expensive. We'll go and look at somebody else that doesn't have that in their contract. I'm not sure. Iowa State did what they could do to make sure he wasn't going to leave unless it was a premier job from Iowa State. That's the $7 million. If Auburn wants Matt Campbell, they'll pay $7 million to go get Matt Campbell. Louisville ain't exactly in a position to pay $7 million to go get Matt Campbell. All right, text line 437-9680. I know there's a ton of texts that have been coming in, so I apologize. Texas says, Brohm's youngest child and baby on the way is from Louisville as well. That's right. That's right. Texas says, are the coaching odds the same as which radio host gets Brohm on first? Jason Alexander better be at 10 to 11 because of his connection with the wife. That's right. Texas says, at this point, can Tyree win a press conference with anyone not named Brohm? I don't think so. But again, I don't care about winning the press conference. I think coaches care and ADs care about winning the press conference.
I mean, maybe Venables. I think that'd be a win.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? You're right. I think Venables, maybe Leach if he gets up there and wears the mustache. That would be great. Texas says, Jason, if Jeff Brohm is the man, can't wait for the first Brohm Anderson Family Foundation tailgate at the Traeger Center. That's pretty good. You guys are actually pretty good today. At least they're fresh, okay? They're not the same old, tired, recycled ones. Texas says, I'd be interested in who the betting favorite would be for the USC position once it opens. I think it's a good point. That might be Dino Babers. Maybe that's why they don't have Dino Babers higher than 12-1, is because if USC is looking at it and saying maybe Dino Babers is their number one guy, he's a West Coast guy. He went to Hawaii. He's from Hawaii. He coached in California and Arizona a lot, and then slowly moved to, what, Eastern Illinois, and then Bowling Green, and then Syracuse. Like, he made a leap in, like, 5 years from the West Coast and Arizona and California and Hawaii to Syracuse. So maybe that's the point. Maybe it would be Dino Babers. Texas says, oh, wait, that's the one I just read. Sorry about that. Texas says, is your wife at Purdue? Not right now. Texas says, a counter question might be, if you are Purdue and you know Jeff is leaving, is there value in asking him to leave early rather than after December 5th? That's a good question. But I would say Purdue would want every dollar they can get. So it's like, okay, maybe, you know what, maybe Louisville negotiates and says, we'll meet you in the middle. So we can 3.2 on December 5th or 4.3 right now, you know, we'll give you 3.7. And therefore, you can start your search as well, because you know Jeff Brohm is going to take the job. You can start your search, and that person can then also go and recruit the players that are already committed to Purdue. Go down to Louisville and recruit some of those players.
Would also help if Louisville's intention is to get him here before the end of the season. Then if Purdue wins one more game, they actually know who their coach is going into the bowl game. They already have some kind of repertoire built up with him.
That's a good point. That's a good point as well. And especially if it's an assistant somewhere, like if they get Ryan Day, you know, you're fine with an offensive coordinator not coaching the bowl game. Texter says, the question is it worth $1.1 million extra to Purdue to not be able to start their coaching search and live 10 extra days in limbo? No, I think those are good points. Those are the same points, essentially, but those are really good points there that you can sort of flip it from that standpoint. Texter says, Rondale highly prioritizes education, big part of him going to Purdue. I doubt he'd leave for U of L. I don't think Rondale Moore is an option. I think you get Jeff Brohm. I think Rondale Moore is at Purdue for the next couple of years, and then he's in the NFL. Texas says, "What's the odds that?" Says, "What are the odds we are the only school that has had two players named Puma?" I mean, I would think that's pretty good. I think I would venture to go out on a limb that I think I could say this with full certainty: Louisville is the first team that has ever had two players nicknamed Puma, either playing or committed at one point. So Puma Ford and Puma Pass. Different recruiting classes, but still, first team ever. And I can report that with full certainty. That is my report. In fact, Mark Ennis had the Russ Yeast and the Jordan Travis, and he had the 20 players in transfer papers, and Drew Diener had the Bobby's not surviving the weekend. This is my report. Louisville's the first school to have a Puma play or a Puma be committed, multiple players. There's my report. Lock it up. Take it to the bank. Texas says, why does the media keep pushing Neil Brown? No way in hell would I, as a U of L fan, be sold on that. But that's the point. I don't think the media is pushing Neil Brown. That's what I talked about in when I asked Magic who the second betting favorite was, that I think it's a little off the board. It's not the name we're hearing. Neil Brown, I would not have put or installed as the second betting favorite. So it's not the media pushing Neil Brown. This is Vegas saying they believe Neil Brown is a viable candidate. And I think there are people that would, you know, look at him and be a good coach. But again, I think that texter has the sort of view of a lot of Louisville fans, in that they would not be good with it. They would not be okay with that. Oh, it's Puna Ford. Damn it. Well, there's my bad report. First time ESPN 680's been wrong about something in the last couple of weeks. Leave it to me. Also, the mock Jamarcus Russell and Matt Flynn conversation just carries over into Puna versus Puma. They are the first team in the history of college football to have either somebody named nicknamed that played or was committed that starts with a poo. That is my report.
Hey, Jason, why don't you just leave the reporting to Mark Ennis?
And Drew. Why are you going to leave Drew out?
And Drew.
Uh-huh. That's right. Texter says, has Locke already placed $5.50 on Brohm at 10-11? $5.50 to win what? A dollar?
He wouldn't. He put it on Neil Brown. That's what he would do.
Win $5? Yeah, I mean, it's $5.50. You're going to win $5.
Did you get smarter?
No, he would put it on Neil Brown because it would be a losing bet.
That's why Lockwood, yeah.
Exactly right.
Because,
yes.
he can't win money on Brom, so he'd say, you know, the smart bet is Neil Brown.
I don't know how the Gas Bag Gambling League wasn't won on Friday night. How did either one of those guys not put everything they have left on Syracuse minus 21? I don't understand the thought process. Didn't Locke say he didn't even bet on it? He was like, well, it's just one of those things that you put the money down there, and then all of a sudden he goes out there and covers. I'm like, they're not going to cover. He may have bet a little bit on it. I apologize if I'm getting it wrong that he didn't bet anything. But the entire, whatever cash you have in the Gas Bag Gambling League, put it all on Syracuse, minus 21, and you're good. You're good from there. Texas says everybody's always lamenting about the welfare of student-athletes, so if he wants to go to Little instead of Purdue, and by all rights, can then how dare, this must be talk to text. It just refreshed. So I was in the middle of reading that, and it refreshed on its own, damn it. I'll find it. Oh, here it is. I got it, Magic. Shut your mouth, Magic. Everybody's always lamenting about the welfare of student-athletes, so if he wants to go to U of L instead of Purdue, and by all rights can, then how dare anyone deny that poor student-athlete what he wants? For shame. Well, I mean, if he wants to go to U of L, that's fine. What I'm saying is there's going to be the moral dilemma of Jeff Brom to then openly or go and recruit those guys and say, no, decommit from Purdue and come to Louisville. I wanted you at Purdue. I really want you at Louisville as well. Now, if those guys say, I only wanted to play for Jeff Brom, that's why I went to Purdue, well, then that's their prerogative. They're not required to then go to Purdue. What I'm saying is it's a moral dilemma if Jeff Brom is going to be the one to reach out and say, hey, I know you're committed to Purdue and all that, but I'm not at Purdue anymore, obviously. I'm at Louisville. I want you to come to Louisville. If you can decommit from Purdue and come to Louisville, that'd be great. I don't think he will do that. But if a player says, I'm not going to Purdue because I was only going there for Jeff Brom, I know this ain't you commit to a school and not to a coach. That's not the case. Some people commit to a school and not the coach, but the majority of players commit to a coach. Rondell Moore committed to Jeff Brom because it was at Purdue. Turned down Texas. He may love the academics of it. That's fine. But if Jeff Brom wasn't at Purdue, he doesn't choose Purdue. Okay, so he committed to Jeff Brom. And these other players are committing to Jeff Brom, who is coaching at Purdue. They're not committing to Purdue, and Jeff Brom is the coach there. So if they decommit, then yeah, it's fair game at that point. But the moral dilemma is, do you then go and say, hey, love for you to decommit and go to Louisville? What if Purdue could have got Rondell and Wandell? Imagine the marketing campaign. Yeah, Brom missed an opportunity right there. How did he not get Wandell after getting Rondell? The Dales.
Very dumb.
Texas says, you cuss on air for the first time, and now your reporting falls to pieces. Texas says,
they deserve that one.
Yes. Another text. So you were wrong about the Puna Puma, and you cussed on the air? Damn it, Jason. Text. U of L fans don't want Neil Brown because he's a UK grad. Well, it would fit in with the Board of Trustees. I'm just joking. God, and Vince Tyree and all of that stuff. It would just be where everybody goes. I'm just joking. God, what if Tyree hired Neil Brown? What if... Man, I'm going to talk about Louisville fans being annoyed immediately. Texas says, put a little heart into that Locke impersonation. You're almost there. I don't know. Texas says, Bo Pelini. Nope.
Hey.
Nope.
Great.
You don't want Bo Pelini. Texas says... Have you asked your wife about Jeff Brom since Petrino got fired? We've had those conversations. Not in the way you think, because we obviously know the joke. The same texter, let's hope Jeff Brom's wife doesn't actually hear all these jokes about your wife, because I'm sure she has the last say, and she probably takes it seriously, would never allow Jeff Brom to come to Louisville again. It's a joke, everybody. It's just a joke. It's a running joke. It's not true. I swear. As far as I know, it's not true. I trust my wife. Fully trust her. All right.
Well, that's going to the mixtape.
Lorenzo Ward talked yesterday and said, by the way, Louisville practice is open to the media right now. How about that? When's the last time Louisville's practice was open to the media? 2 years ago? 3 years ago? I remember going to a Louisville practice when Damian Copeland and who else was? I know it was Copeland because we watched that practice, a couple practices, and Andy fell in love with Copeland. And he was like, that's my dude.
I think this may have been before I was here.
That's the last one I remember going to that was open. Maybe Bobby's first year, he opened the first part of camp so the fans can go and watch, just as sort of a reaching out that, hey, he's changed, he's not the same, and then that quickly changed. He's different, everybody. He's allowing practice to be open. Okay. I also think, too, like, with the next coach, the part of the fit is it has to be an outreach with the fans, too. It has to be an outreach. Like, Chris Mack was an outreach with the ex-Louisville players of the Crum guys and the Patino guys and wanted to bring them all together. And he comes off as the sort of antithesis of Rick Pitino, sort of the everyman, not wearing the snakeskin boots. He's going to the Cracker Barrel. He's showing up at Waffle House. He's got a very bad Shaq tattoo on his calf. Like, these are things that you wouldn't expect Rick Pitino to have. And so it sort of endears himself with the Louisville community that he's just sort of an every guy, family man, you know, takes his kids on recruiting trips, took his daughter to Ireland to go and visit Aiden Agahan's mom. And so, you know, that's sort of the way that he's approached it. I think the football coach has to be, to some degree, that.
Is the weirdest similarity or thing that is shared between Chris Mack and Rick Pitino that they each had a tattoo?
Yeah, both of them a tattoo they now regret.
That is fair.
Yes, they both have a tattoo they now regret. All right, Lorenzo Ward talked yesterday, and boy, he told you the truth and then tried to back off and then told you the truth again. Here Lorenzo Ward is talking about the players and sort of their excitement of their coach being fired 24 hours earlier, and then not the excitement but also the excitement.
You hear things, and, you know, I know that the guys are, you know, excited about the change from some standpoint. You know, a lot of them are, you know, excited because Coach Pitino did a great job here, and he did all these young men out here now was recruited by Coach Pitino, and they know that's an opportunity that you just don't get every day to come and play at a school like Louisville in a Power Five conference and having that opportunity. So they're real appreciative of what he's done, but they're happy about seeing some change because, again, when you go through a season, you lost seven games in a row, you know, everybody thinks that you need change.
Like, he was trying not to say, look, man, everybody's pumped up. Like, some of the players aren't. You know, G.G. Robinson, Hassan Hall, they were tweeting. Some other players that weren't, you know, tweeting specifically that are on the team, but ex-players, certainly had no problem tweeting about their experience and what their day was like on Sunday when Bobby Petrino was let go. But Lorenzo Ward essentially saying there, look, these guys were excited. They were. Like, it's a new day. They're excited. Well, you know, they certainly love, you know, Coach Pitino for giving them the opportunity to play here. But you're struggling and you're 2-8 and you know that you need a change. So they're excited about that. It gets a little bit of, you know, letting people in, a peek behind the curtains of what the program and team might feel like today. I wonder if there's more of a breath of fresh air with these players. You know, G.G. Robinson said, you know, they ate together for the first time with the coaches on Sunday night. Like, maybe that's not a big deal. Maybe that's not standard practice. But I thought it was telling that it was like he pointed that out and said, well, what's the difference? Well, we ate together as a, you know, the coaches all ate with the players last night. So, you know, that was pretty cool. Like, I mean, you would wonder if that's something that other coaches do or if that was just, you know, Bobby Petrino's personality. Texas, Chris Mack being the common man out everywhere and on social media is fine unless he doesn't win. Then it's he needs to spend less time on social media and at Burger King and more on basketball. Well, of course, yes. This is That's the fickle nature. That's the second time I've used that word, and maybe it's because Luke Fickell is, you know, named here and as one of the, not the favorites, but the fifth betting favorite there. I'm not sure. Texas is how. Here's how it's going to be: Mike Leach, USC; Brohm to U of L; Neil Brown to Purdue. I mean, I think Purdue would be willing to hire Neil Brown, and I think Neil Brown would definitely take the job. But I don't know about Mike Leach to USC. I would love it. Like, I don't want Mike Leach to be in, you know, stuck in Washington State. You know, I'd rather him, you know, be either right here or, you know, somewhere bigger. You can see him a little more often, although we do get a pretty decent dose of one, Mike Leach. Kent Taylor was on with Drew Diener this morning, and I did not know that this was how it went down on Sunday. So Kent Taylor was going through the timeline of events with Drew and with Billy, who, by the way, was amazing this morning. Like, I want Billy to be the soundtrack of Drew Diener's shows every day. Just Drew talking and Billy in the background. Well, Drew. And then right back on to talking. Like, that being the soundtrack of Drew's show this morning was phenomenal. Regardless, Kent Taylor's on the air with Drew, and he's saying, you know, they taped the coach's show, and they're around the studio, and then Bobby Petrino leaves the studio at 10:40. And then Kent Taylor's sort of explaining other things, like he's at on campus, and he's over at the facilities, and he sees Lorenzo Ward, and he sees, you know, Nick Petrino, and he sees some of the other guys, and he's sort of explaining all of the different things that were going on throughout that time frame with him. But the one thing that stuck out to me is Bobby Petrino left the studios at 10:40. He had a meeting with Vince Tyree at 11 o'clock. The meeting was over at 11:10 when he was fired. So Bobby Petrino was coaching, was taping his coach's show, and then drove to the meeting to get fired. And I wonder if that makes Louisville fans like Vince Tyree even more. That Tyree let him tape his coach's show, knowing full well he was firing him that day. Ray didn't want to screw over, you know, Wave and be like, well, if I fire him now, then they've got to find a replacement to go and do their show, and they might have sponsors, and now they're not going to do a show, and it's not going to go on the air. Maybe he's thinking of that. Maybe he's thinking of Kent Taylor and his job and sponsors and money and things like that. I'm not sure, but I do wonder if Louisville fans are, like, feeling, you know, more endeared to Vince Tyree, that the dude let him coach or tape his coach's show, knowing full well that when that was done, he was meeting with Bobby to fire him. I also wonder if Bobby and his look on his face that show, and Kent Taylor saying, yeah, he was in a different mood, he was a little more down than usual. Bobby knew he had a meeting at 11 o'clock, right? Like, Bobby didn't get a call at 10:40 leaving the studio of, hey, I need to talk to you in my office, Bobby. Bring your playbook. Like, I don't think that was the conversation. You would think he would have had a conversation or that meeting scheduled before he went into the coach's show. So Bobby Petrino tapes a coach's show with Kent Taylor, knowing that 11 o'clock he's got a meeting with Vince Tyree. And I don't think that's an every week meeting at 11 o'clock on Sunday.
Man, I wasted my whole day.
I don't think that is something that Vince Tyree meets with Bobby at 11 o'clock every Sunday, as in, hey, let's go over the game plan. What did you think of the game Friday night, Bobby? Like, that's not what the AD is going to do. So Bobby's got a meeting at 11 o'clock. He's taping the coach's show. He knows he's fired, right? Like, Bobby's got to be thinking, I'm fired. Like, I'm going to walk in, and this is the end of my tenure at Louisville, and I won't be coaching as a head coach anytime soon. Like, I don't know the next time Bobby Petrino's going to get a head coaching job.
No, here we go. It's time to do it.
No clue when that's going to happen. But Vince Tyree knew all the well what was going to happen that day. And then Pat Forty gets the report, and it goes up on Wave. And by the way, Kent Taylor said that was his idea, to put the scroll during the show. And what a great idea, by the way. Because Wave has received so much pub nationally. They talked about it on the Dan Patrick Show and showed the scroll. High noon with Bomani Jones talked about it, yesterday as well, making fun of Bobby Petrino and then playing clips from his press conference at Arkansas when he was, giving all the different excuses as to how he wrecked his motorcycle and it had nothing to do with, and he was asked, was there anybody else with you? No, I was riding alone. I was just by myself. And they brought up a really fun point that Bobby said, I had two helmets on the kitchen table, and one of them was really hot, and I didn't want to wear that one, and the other one made me look like a conehead, and so I grabbed my hat, which was a bad call. We wouldn't have picked up the first down. And Bomani was like, think about this. He was worried about his hair for his side piece. He didn't want to wear the cone head because he was, or not his hair, but he didn't want to wear the cone head helmet because he was worried about what it would look like for the side piece. And then he wrecked his motorcycle. Like, that was his decision when I was talking with my wife and trying to decide which helmet I wanted to wear. It was a bad decision. And then Tyree, by the way, shows up at the press conference wearing a Louisville football hoodie. Just not a shirt and tie. He didn't need to go business casual. He just went, that's a Sunday. I'm rocking a hoodie. I can fire somebody in a hoodie. That's fine. I've done it before. I'll do it again. Texas says, this sounds like a crime show. Kent, you were the last person to see Bobby alive. Kent Taylor was the last person to see Bobby as the head coach at Louisville. What was it like, Kent? He's going to be a character witness on the stand. He's going to be under oath. Texas says, we need your Oliver Twist bit after the team finally got to eat with the coaches. They finally got some steak instead of the scraps.
I just want to have one meal with the coaches, sir. They don't like us. If I can't eat with the coaches, I won't play hard for them.
Coaching Carousel next.
You are listening to The Zone with Jason Anderson.
If you don't stand with Jason Anderson.
Do you know what the future you is up to right now? It could be working for UPS. UPS is now hiring part-time package handlers in Louisville. For select shifts, you can now receive bonuses up to $250. They also graduate debt-free through the Metro College Program. Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com. Get there.